Let's turn to Genesis and chapter 39. But Genesis 39, verses 1 through 23, we will be reading. And God's people, beginning Genesis 39, verse 1, these are God's words, so give your attention to them. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. And he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from thee but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out." And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me, and I fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, 'After this manner did thy servant to me,' that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, and a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." And those are God's words. We were coming back now to what happened to Joseph after we looked at Judah in the last chapter. We're reminded here that Joseph is a slave in Potiphar's house. And that the Lord then, as a slave, blessed him and made him to prosper, to the point that Joseph was made an overseer of Potiphar's house over everything except for what bread he ate, and also not over his wife. And this drew the attention of Potiphar's wife, of course, and the Lord protected Joseph then from the temptation through verse 12. And then through verse 20, Joseph is falsely accused, imprisoned, and yet the time of his imprisonment in that dark providence, the Lord was continually as we see throughout the chapter. He was continually with Joseph, always showing him mercy, always showing him grace, and Joseph continued to prosper. Beloved, today our congregation goes through a dark providence, as we've considered, in fellowship with God's people, with our brother and sister and their child, Adassa. God is with them. I saw that yesterday, and I know it's still happening. I know that He's still with them, and He will continue to be with them and bless them. There will be temptations they will go through. I saw some temptations they went through to sin and to fret. And just as we struggle in dark providences ourselves. But beloved, our God will uphold them. Amen. He will show mercy to them and grace, as He will, and He has for us too. And here in this passage, Joseph points us to Jesus Christ, who took upon Him the form of a servant, and God was with Him, even by the Holy Spirit, who upheld Christ in His human nature against the temptations of the devil. He overcame. And Jesus was falsely accused by those chief priests and scribes. He was crucified, and yet now all things and authority have been given unto Him. God made Him to prosper. One great thing is that we, His people, are in union with Him. We are in union with Jesus Christ, and so we put our faith in Him, in knowing and hope the promises will come about, and He will make the faithful, His children, to prosper. And He will bless His people always, even when we go through dark providences, just as Joseph did, and just as we do. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give You praise today for the gospel even shown here in Jesus Christ, Your Son, as Joseph points to Him, as He is a type of Christ. We're thankful that Christ, when He was tempted, overcame, rebuked Satan, and He was found to be without sin. Father, we're thankful that we are Your people in union with Jesus Christ. And that comfort that we have, that when temptations come, that we will not be tempted beyond what we are able to bear, even as we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And we give You praise for this. Father, we're thankful that You make Your people to prosper. Prosper, maybe not physically on this earth, but certainly You make us prosper. And You bless Your people. And You grant to us righteousness in Christ Your Son. Not because of anything we have done, but only because of the righteousness found in Jesus Christ alone and imputed to us and received by faith alone. Father, we are thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're thankful for His resurrection and His ascension, in which He now has been given all authority in heaven and on earth and all that is in them. And so we look with comfort unto Him who is sovereign over all nations and all peoples. Father, today we mourn with the many Christians who are persecuted. We are also angry with them, especially those brothers and sisters in Canada, the churches there, who have remained faithful in the face of persecution, some jailed, some fined. And yet, Father, we stand with them in faith, and we stand with them in our prayers. And Father, we pray that You will judge those rulers who are over them for their wickedness, for stopping the worship of God, or at least calling for the worship of God to be stopped. And when it is not stopped and ended, and the preaching of the Word continues to go forth, that they have come and physically stopped it, or persecuted pastors, or fined in which to cause those Christians to tremble before them. And so we pray for them that they would not tremble before them, but they would tremble before Jesus Christ alone, who sits enthroned in glory. And by their faith, and by their standing and being persecuted, we pray that You would encourage us so that when we are persecuted and when we suffer, we will follow their example and continue to be faithful unto you, that the gospel would continue to be proclaimed. And so, Father, we pray for our own nation and the churches that are of this nation, that you would cause your people to worship you in spirit and in truth, assembling together, that the gospel would be proclaimed. And Father, we ask that you would turn our government to bow the knee to Christ and covenant with Him, as we pray for that government in Canada and many other nations throughout the world, that all of them would bow the knee to Christ and they would call upon Him, the name by which alone they can be saved, the name of Jesus, your Son. And may they be saved. And may you cause them to rule according to your word, not just the 5th through the 10th commandments, but all of your commandments, that they would apply them to the nation, and they would call people to worship you in the churches, that they would call people to stop blaspheming, that they would call people to bring about the sword upon those who would commit adultery and many of the sexual sins of this day. And Father, we pray that you would call them to even bear the sword against blaspheming you and forsaking the Sabbath day, in which we are, and all people are, since it is a creation ordinance, all people are to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. So, Father, we pray that you would watch over your people and care for them. Make us bold in the face of persecution or tyranny. Make us bold and faithful unto you, always and forever. And then, Father, we do pray for those in our bodies which are sick or frail. We pray for Oliver, Ezekiel. We pray for Deanne. We pray for the Gordetskis who are sick again. Father, we pray and ask for your blessing upon them and grant them strength and healing. And may your grace be upon them. Bless them today, Father. And then, of course, we do pray for Michael and Audrey. We're thankful for their, in the face of dark providences, continuing to minister the gospel to those around them, along with April Watson. And Father, we're thankful for their service to your church, even in their situation. We're thankful that they are seeking first your kingdom. And Father, we pray that you would comfort them, you give them wisdom, that you would strengthen them against the temptations that Satan will bring upon them, that you would give them the whole armor of God, that they would put on your word and prayer, and grant to them strength to not be anxious or fret, but trust your providence, to mourn and yet to be joyful in Christ and the gospel, and show that forth to the many who come in contact with them. We pray that Audrey would be released today from the hospital, that she could also find room at the Overland Park Regional Hospital, and she'd be able to be there near her child. We pray for Michael, that you would uphold him and cause him and work in him to be a comforter, not only for the sake of his child, but for Audrey, his wife, and to encourage her. And then, Father, we pray for Adasa, that you would heal her completely. Do your miraculous work. Work through the doctors. Amaze the doctors and cause them to know that it is only by your hand that she can be healed. And Father, we give you the many praises for what you have done already. Thankful that she's breathing on her own. Her heart is beating. I pray that you would heal her brain. And that the results of the MRI, whenever that would be, that it would be excellent. And if not your will, Father, may your grace be upon that family and all our families as we will not only rejoice with them, but mourn with them. So help us and teach us to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. May their faith be an encouragement to us, even in their youth. Uphold them, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.